Long after the Holy Roman Empire was neither Holy Roman nor an empire, there is an apocryphal story told about the Pope and a Jewish janitor. It seems that, ill-advised, the Pope had decided that all Jewish folks would have to leave Rome unless someone from the Jewish community could defeat him in a debate. The rabbi said, "I'm not going because the Pope will make the final decision." And the elders weren't so sure either, but the Jewish janitor, hearing the conversation, said, "Wait a minute, I've lived here with my family all my life. I'll take him on." And so, acknowledging his passion, they said, "You will represent us." And so the day for the famous debate came, and the Pope was in his fancy chair surrounded by cardinals, and the janitor came in and sat humbly in a little wooden chair. And the Pope began his debate by saying, "I want you to know there are two things. First of all, I will decide who wins, and secondly, once the debate begins, no words will be spoken." Let the debate begin, and the Pope went like this. The janitor thought for a moment, and he went like this. And then the Pope held up one finger, and with great exclamation, the Jewish janitor held up three. And then finally the Pope signaled for a servant to bring him a plate with a perfectly round orange on it. And he held up the orange, and the Jewish janitor scratched his head and reached down to the floor and took up his brown paper bag and took out a flat piece of matzo bread and held it up. And then the Pope spoke and said, "The debate is over. The Jewish folks have won. They may stay in Rome." And so we went back to the synagogue, and the cardinals came in close to the Pope to ask him, "What happened?" He said, "Very simple. I began by saying God is in the heavens, and rightly he answered, he's in my heart too. I said there is one God, and he rightly acknowledged there are three manifestations. And finally, I wanted to see what he thought about this newfangled heresy that the world is round. So I held out my orange, and he immediately refuted that by holding up his flat piece of matzo bread. And so he won the debate on all accounts." Well, meanwhile, back to the synagogue, they are delighted, and the rabbi said, "What happens?" And the janitor said, "I don't know. The Pope began by saying all Jews out of Rome, and I said, not me. And then he said, you can drop dead, and I said with exclamation, you can drop dead three times. And then finally he took out his lunch, and I took out mine too." Well, our conversations, yours and mine, are often characterized by conflict, obfuscation, and deafness. It seems that time and again, Scripture, literature, and music broaden our vision under God for the greater journey. And most likely, that's why most of us are here this morning, to broaden our vision under God. We hear once again the clarity of the teaching of St. Paul, who says, keep on keeping on. The Apostle Paul, as you know, once called Saul of Tarsus, was particularly well gifted to bring the early church to Asia Minor. Author of as many as 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament, he was well versed in Hebrew Scripture and Greek philosophy. An ideal spokesman to the Gentile world, as he introduced a way, a new way, a Jesus who was driven by faith, not law, and by grace, and not judgment. Paul reminds us in Galatians to live out a life of grace through the fruits of the Spirit, which are compassion and gentleness, joy and kindness, generosity and peace. Paul writes to the Philippians, if then there is encouragement in Christ, Make my joy complete, being of the same mind and loving one another. And always remember, keep on keeping on. When I think about the ministry of encouragement in our lives, I think about celebrating the accomplishments and successes of those around us. But also, it is two-faceted, because I also think of the encouragement that is needed by those who are suffering loss, suffering, and sadness. In the movie Chariots of Fire, you may recall that the writer Harold Abrams had never lost a meet in his life. And he loses by a few seconds, and he is dejected and despondent. And he says to his girlfriend, "If I cannot win, I will not run." And she gently takes him by the arm and said, "If you do not run, you cannot win." Did not Ralph Waldo Emerson have it right when he said, "What lies before you and what lies behind you are small matters compared to what lies within you"? A number of years ago, I had a parishioner, and her name was Sarah Lee. She was in her late 40s and a highly respected English teacher in the public school system. She dropped by my office one day to share with me that she had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. But then she said, "But you know, my son is graduating in June." It was December when she visited, "and I am going to be there for that graduation." With the ministry of encouragement kicking in with friends and parish and others and colleagues, Sarah was there. She was there for her son's graduation. In July, she gave me a call and said, "Guess what? There's good news in our family. My daughter's engaged to be married next June." She said, "And I'm going to be there." And she was. Keep on keeping on. Last year, I read a wonderful book that you may have shared as well, entitled Boys in a Boat, by Daniel Brown. A compelling story about nine young men from the University of Washington who transformed their sport and galvanized the attention of millions of Americans. Out of the depths of the Depression comes an exhilarating story about beating the odds and finding hope in desperate times. About beating the odds and finding hope in desperate times. In 1936, the U.S. men's Olympic team, the son of loggers and the sons of farmers and shipyard workers, took on and defeated successive echelons of power and privilege. They annihilated the Eastern schools. They even defeated the sons of the British aristocrats at Oxford and Cambridge. And then, finally, by a mere second, they stunned the world as they beat the Nazis, as Adolf Hitler looked on in 1936. Now, for over 50 years, these men meet regularly, not only to celebrate their accomplishments, but most importantly, to uphold their friendships and to encourage each as they move ahead in their life's journey. Joe Rantz was brought up nearly homeless. He was adopted by his teammates as a friend. He was adopted into a sport which requires precision, courage, will, and exhaustive training. A unique sport, to be sure, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, looking back and moving forward. On November 18th, 1995, Itzhak Perlman came on the stage to give a concert at Avery Fisher Hall in New York City. You may have known that he was stricken with polio as a young boy, and he used crutches and clasps on the lower parts of his leg. To see him come across the stage was always a painful experience. As he would sit down in his chair, put down his crutches and take his violin to put under his chin, and then the conductor pointed his way. But within seconds, something went wrong. After finishing a few bars, it happened. A snap. It sounded like a 2x4 hitting the floor. No mistaking what had gone wrong. One of the strings of the violin had broken. Many wondered, would he simply put on his leg clasp and pick up his crutches and search for a new violin? No, he waited a moment, closed his eyes, and then signaled the conductor to begin again. Everyone knew that it was impossible to play a symphonic work with three strings, but Mr. Perlman refused the premise. You could see him modulating and changing and recomposing the piece in his head. To music lovers, he had generated a sound never before produced by three strings. When he had finished, there was a short silence, and then everyone rose to a thunderous applause. Mr. Perlman raised his bow to quiet everyone, and then he said, not boastfully, but pensively, "Sometimes, my friends, sometimes you have to do the best with what you have left." St. Paul reminds us in Galatians to live a life of grace through the fruits of the Spirit, which are compassion, gentleness, joy and kindness, and generosity, and finally peace. Scripture, music, and literature broaden our vision unto God for the greater journey. And most likely, that's exactly why we're here today. Paul writes, "If there is then encouragement in Christ, be of the same mind, walking in love as Christ loved us." And always remember, keep on keeping on.